Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtin Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, either at 6:30, 8, 9:30, 10, or 11, and you will hear the facts and the truth and nothing but the truth and the facts. And I talk about on this show my theological beliefs, my Christian beliefs. I talk about those. I talk about literature, which I love, great books and significant books. I think they're important for our young people to read those books and not to read some modern novel that's going to not benefit them one inch beyond John Milton or G.K. Chesterton or Jane Augustine. And the show also has a literary component, it has a religious component, and a political component. I'm a conservative person who opposes abortion and gay marriage. And I'm not saying I dislike guy people. I do not dislike them. I think they're wonderful. I think that Jesus died for them and gave his love for them and cast down his life for all humanity, whatever they are, Muslims or Hindus or Christians or non-Christians, whoever they are, Jesus loves them and died for them. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about two topics tonight which are controversial and political. I think they're more like political slogans than getting truth to people. But I'm going to talk about the huge amount of talk about race and diversity. I'm going to comment about this and what's going on with the use of these terms, and maybe we can get a handle on why they're being used and what they're being used for. Now, I think you should understand, ladies and gentlemen, I have a background, and I think you should know about it. And I will go into it a little bit to fill you in if you have not listened to this show before. I'm a politically incorrect show. I don't go in for political correctness. I believe in getting at the truth and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. I don't particularly like political rhetoric or media lies or media falsehoods or anything like that or slogans or big lies. I'm not interested. I think it's a waste of time. And they're an insult to my intelligence that I have to listen to people who spew this nonsensical propaganda in the ears of our young people and our older people, whoever they are. They are destructive, they are lies, and they're a waste of time. Second thing is, I'm a Christian, and I welcome all faiths to my banner here on this show. I know Jesus died and loved for all people, as it says in Timothy. And it says unequivocally in Timothy that Jesus wishes all men to be saved, all without question. Men, women, gay people, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, everybody, he wishes them to be with him in heaven and to be saved. So I see the face of Christ in every person that I see, whether Hindu, Muslim, or whoever they are. I know Jesus died for them and loved them immeasurably. I'm a politically conservative person in the sense that I take certain conservative positions, such as on gay marriage and abortion. By the way, I have to say I have no prejudice or hatred to gay people. I know that Jesus loves them and died for them, and I welcome them to the church. I welcome them everywhere I see them. I love them. I treasure them. And that's true of also my dear Muslim friends and my dear Buddhist friends and my dear Islamic friends. All are wonderful and loved by Christ to the very end of the world. Next, I'm not going to talk about, I've given you an indication of what I feel in this respect. By the way, in terms of my political positions, I draw the line. I'm very concerned about the poverty and underclass people because Jesus had a great concern for the poor, and in fact, I substantially identified with them. It was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? And anything good came out of Nazareth. He himself lived a life of poverty and chose his disciples, tradesmen and working men. Many of his followers were so-called sinners, ritual law and moral sinners. They were underclass people. So Jesus had a particular love and concern for poverty and poor people. And he said to the rich young man, if you want to be saved, give up your goods. He couldn't do it. But that is the value. Jesus is not a materialist, and he opposes materialism. I'm not a materialist. I oppose materialism. And I think that Jesus takes the same position in the next world. Next, I think you should know that some more things about my background. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show, which is visited by many, many people all over the world. And I'm happy to say that I have a philosophy student in Iran who loved my Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview. And I have many Muslims visiting my sites, many, many Muslims visiting my sites. And people from Saudi Arabia have visited the Blog Talk radio show many times. I welcome them. I love them. I know Jesus died for them. And I hope to get know more of them and know them better than I presently do. Next, I want to say that these radio shows are Christian shows, but they welcome all faiths and all people and all ideas and all opinions. And in fact, the podcast show has had over 4,000 visitors, and the Blog Talk radio show has had many visitors from Saudi Arabia, despite the Christian orientation of these shows. Next, I want to say that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The legal books are Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. And the Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. A book on the parables. By the way, I recommend reading the parables, my dear young and old friends. The parables are the mind and thoughts of Christ. They are very great pieces of thinking. And if you want to know what God thinks and recommends and advises, read the parables. You'll find them in the four Gospels. They're wonderful, they're great, and you can't read them often enough. Though I've written a book interpreting the 41 parables, I've also written a book interpreting 150 psalms. The psalms, John Donne, the great English poet, said of the psalms that they are the manna of the church, meaning they were the treasure of the church. They're very great. They're lyric poetry. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary, and I read them to this day, not in Hebrew because my Hebrew is a little rusty, but I read them in English. And I memorized, when I was in Sunday school, I memorized the first, second, and 23rd Psalms. The Psalms are great. They're great examples of our literary art. They're wonderful. You can't read them often enough for their thought. They have great spiritual insights to offer us all. I recommend reading the Psalms, and if you like my book, I hope you will get the book. You may find in my interpretations of the Psalms interesting. I've written other books. I'm preparing a book on my four blogs, which are literary, philosophical, theological, and blogs in that area. And there's four of them. I have four books as a result of my contributions to those blogs. And I also am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter of that. I've written a chapter on Bender's Consolidated Evidence called Res Gestae. I've written a chapter in New York Jurisprudence, the Legal Encyclopedia, Criminal Law and Demands and Notices. And I've also written a book on exposition of the Book of Job. Job is a wonderful book. He wasn't Jewish. He was an Edomite, and apparently he was affected by the Greek literary culture. It's a wonderful book. Read Job, benefit from it. As I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this 100 times, a world without these books is a world in darkness and ignorance. If you want to choose for your family and your kids darkness and ignorance, you can do that, but there'll be a heavy price to pay in future generations when young people do not know what I am referring to in this broadcast, when they have not read the Bible, they have not read the Book of Job, and they have not read the Psalms or the parables. They are in a intellectually disastrous mode. My dear adult friends, parents, get the Bible and read it with your kids, because when you read the Bible, you get knowledge, depth knowledge, profound knowledge, and the kind of knowledge that's irreplaceable. And that's true of any great book, whether Milton's Paradise Lost, G.K. Chesterton, whether T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, whether Bonhoeffer, whether Calvin and Luther, whether St. Augustine, They're all great. They all have a tremendous amount to offer. Get your kids to these books and have them read them. They will learn the depth of thinking that is possible. Mortimer Adler wrote a great book, How to Read a Book. He said that images such as movies and television were nonsense. They were drugs. He also said the Bible was the foundation of Western civilization. Well, a lot of schools, our present public schools, don't want to have the Bible mentioned. Well, their kids are missing out immeasurably by not reading the Bible in the schools. We had Bible readings, and it was a better society when we did. Now it is not so good. We are being pulled down intellectually and spiritually. We are being pushed down, where there will be no recovery unless something is done. And the right books are assigned to our young people, and the right thoughts are given to them. That should be given to them. I also have written a chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've written 3 major law review articles on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, which was bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I've also written a book on the educational system, an Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. I have identified the United States educational system as a disaster, which is ruining our young people. They are being taught Marxism rather than truth. That's fine. All right. Have them teach Marxism, but they will be destroyed intellectually if that's all they're fed in our school system. And also, I wrote a law review article on an academic is also in the sexual orientation discrimination, even though I personally disagree with our gay brothers and sisters in their lifestyle. It doesn't mean I hate them. It doesn't mean I want them discriminated against. I love them. I know Jesus loves them, and I want them to be with Jesus in heaven, with our Hindu brothers, with our Muslim brothers, and with all the peoples of the earth that Jesus loved and died for. So that's about all I have to say in my background these days. And tonight the broadcast is going to be about race and diversity. Let me take a little few words about race. As a Christian, of course, I adamantly reflect racism and racial distinctions. They're accidents of genetics. They don't mean anything, and yet so many people will use race as a bludgeon against other people. And race prejudice is terrible. I disagree with it, and I want no part of it. But unfortunately, race is used as a political ploy. The Democratic Party, the left, talks an awful lot about race, and that's all right. They should talk about it, but I don't think most people are prejudiced or racist in the United States. And if there's anybody like that, I don't want to know them. And as a Christian, I detest any kind of racial distinction or races or racial thoughts. They're wrong. I want nothing to do with them. Yet the left will shout a great deal about race. And they said that of President Trump, that he was a racist. There was no evidence of that. In fact, in the last election, he made tremendous gains among our Latino and black brethren. He's not a racist. He's an intelligent person who did a good job. He has nothing to do with racism. I don't know why people felt that way. But, of course, a political party will use anything to win the election, and the Democratic Party and left used race as a ploy to identify the President Trump, as racist and therefore to not get him reelected. It was a method of not getting him reelected. That's all. I oppose race. I don't think race is important. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in seeing people in black, white, or in anything but they are as persons. And the main thing is for me is that Jesus makes no distinction of this sort. He died for all humanity, whatever their race, white, black, Asian. He made no distinction. And in fact, the people that followed him were the underclass people. And, of course, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you should all remember that he was changing the religion of that time in Palestine, and the Samaritan was not Jewish, and he was the man who was the neighbor. And Jesus made it clear that he had no distinctions of race or ethnic background in that parable. He merely took the position that is the person who loves and helps you is the person that is your neighbor. Could be black, could be Asian, whoever they are, it is your neighbor, that person who helps you. And Jesus created a new religion with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, let's talk about diversity. There's been a little talk about diversity, and there's a lot of talk about diversity. I have to say this. I'm not convinced that diversity is good or bad. I don't think it means anything. And in fact, in some ways, it may not be that good, because it may be better to have a society that is more homogeneous, possibly. I'm not sure that's quite true, but I'm not sure that diversity means anything. Why have different kinds of people? There are different kinds of people in the world, and they're welcome to my thinking, but I don't think that diversity is a requirement. It's something that may be good, it may be bad, but it has its good points of bringing different kinds of people and getting to know different kinds of people and different races and ethnic backgrounds, but it has its bad points in making the society unworkable and not being, and maybe better for a social system to be consisting of a homogeneous group rather than diverse. Not sure. And by the way, let me say that I have no hatred or dislike of other ethnic groups. I'm merely saying that it may be better for a society to be homogeneous rather than diverse. Although diversity is good because it brings us into contact with different kinds of people, and that will change our thinking about those kinds of people. Diversity, also I have to say, it is a political ploy. It's a lie, essentially. It's a way of getting elected. Hello? As I say, diversity is a political term. As with politics, politics uses anything, good thing, to get elected and to get money and to get political office. And therefore, I have to say that diversity, although it may be a good thing, is used in a negative way. I think it could be, an argument could be made that a society less diverse is more workable, possibly. But personally, I have no objection to different kinds of people in the world being in our country. But I think we should reconsider the use of the term diversity, the constant bludgeon used by the left to convince us that this is good, and it may not be that good. It may create a very excited with a great deal of friction, and possibly it's better to have a homogeneous society. But I'm not saying I have opposition to different kinds of people. I love them. I know Jesus died for them. That's the bottom line. He died for all men and loves all men, and that's my position and will always be my position. Diversity may be good, may be bad, but as a political term, it's useless. Just like race as a political factor is a waste of time. The use of these terms are political, largely. They are tools of the left, and they are meaningless to a large extent. Although there's some truth that race is, to me, race is meaningless. I know Jesus loves all races and cares about them. I don't think that race is important. I think it's a genetic factor. It's an accident of birth and nothing more. It has no meaning. I think people of all races have the same intellectual ability and talents. I don't think there's any difference. As for diversity, it's the same thing. It is a political term, but it is also a term which is, it could be good. Diversity has a good quality about it, and having different, knowing and understanding different kinds of people that Jesus loved and died for, but possibly as a society, it may not be so good to have that as the operative factor. I enjoyed this broadcast, and I hope you have too.